This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Douglas Holtz Aiken, who is the former director of the Congressional Budget Office, an organization you've heard a lot about over the last several months, as they have scored a myriad of different bills related to the health care debate. And Mr. Holtz Aiken has gone over the numbers and is here to explain now why this bill is not going to be as fiscally responsible as the Democrats promised that it will be. And Doug, it's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Let's talk about some of the issues real briefly that I think a lot of people have heard about. Number one, the issue that the revenue buildup to pay for this expansion of the health care system kicks in immediately, while the benefits don't kick in till 2014. So over that first 10 years, it balances out, and they claim it's even deficit-friendly. What happens after that?
Well, we know that for the first full 10 years of implementation of this bill, the total spending is $2.5 trillion. There's nowhere close to $2.5 trillion worth of offsetting spending cuts or tax increases. So the bottom line is that this bill simply doesn't add up.
And then in terms of the out years, as our population ages, the baby boomers keep getting older, how much will this multiply?
It'll continue to grow. The real question is, how fast will healthcare costs grow? We know that one of the great failures of this reform is that it doesn't really take on the rising cost of healthcare in the United States, because healthcare continues to get more expensive, so does insurance, and so do all these government programs.
And as you point out in your most recent piece, and as others have pointed out during this debate, you can't really blame the Congressional Budget Office for the estimations and what is most likely to really happen, because they have to score exactly what's given to them. What are some other issues inside this bill that you believe have either been dishonest or at least very misleading as to what the real taxpayer bill will be here?
Well, I think there are three cases of robbing Peter to pay Paul that just don't make any sense. The first and the most dishonest is to start a brand new entitlement program called the Class Act. In this bill, $70 billion worth of premiums are paid into that program, which is supposed to return benefits in the form of long-term care insurance. The bill then turns around and takes that $70 billion and spends it on something else. So when those beneficiaries show up to get their long-term care insurance, there will be no money in the bank, and we'll have to find the money elsewhere. So they're literally robbing a brand-new program before it's even started. They're robbing an old program, Social Security, by taking $53 billion of what would be Social Security revenues and using it to offset the cost of this program. And then the big numbers are in Medicare, where $463 billion worth of spending cuts are promised for the Medicare program in the years to come. Unfortunately, they haven't done anything that would allow Medicare to operate more cheaply. As a result, when the time comes, a Congress will be forced to either not have Medicare beneficiaries be able to go to hospitals or to nursing homes or to doctors, or they're going to have to put the money back in. My guess is the money goes back in, and this is a very expensive bill as a result.
What about this so-called doc fix we've heard so much about?
The doc fix is a promise to cut Medicare doctors by 21% in the next couple of months. It'll never happen. If they fully fixed the payment rates for doctors, it would cost nearly $300 billion over the next 10 years. That's not even in the bill.
And so in terms of how they'll fix this, we've had one bill of fixes. We know we've got other problems. We've got companies saying they're going to have to shell out tens of millions of dollars to cover the cost of prescription drugs for their retirees, because that's no longer covered. And that's headed to a confrontation potentially on Capitol Hill. How long will we see Congress having to adjust what they thought was the final product here?
This bill will be under constant revision, if not repeal, now and for the foreseeable future. There are so many things that it does and reaches in and intrudes with the operations of private businesses, as we're seeing with retiree drug coverage, with doctors and hospitals. We'll hear about the complaints. We'll hear about the unintended consequences. And the Congress will be under a lot of heat for reasons above and beyond just not being able to pay the bills.
And what do you suspect will be the answer? I guess it depends on which party's in power when all this becomes evident and this debt continues to mount. But when we get to that pretty dire situation, what's going to be on the table as a likely solution?
Well, let us remember that this builds on top of an already dire budget situation. The federal government is anticipated to run deficits as far as the eye can see. They're never going to get under $700 billion, and they'll be over $1 trillion even at the end of 10 years after the economy is assumed to have fully recovered. So Congress is going to be looking at this bill and asking themselves, how can I pay that bill when I can't pay the existing bills? There'll be tremendous pressure to target this benefit more carefully, take out a lot of the overly intrusive regulation, allow markets to actually control costs. I think that would be the best outcome for the bill.
And in terms of advice you would give to the president and this Congress, sounds like you would be a fan of repeal in a lot of ways, at least a lot of provisions here. What other advice would you give them economically or on the health care front?
Well, I think it's in the economics picture, time to put our fiscal house in order so that we're not facing a future of higher interest rates, higher taxes, or both, so that businesses can confidently put people on the payroll and give them the opportunity to get ahead. On the health care front, we certainly needed health care reform, and that remains true, but we need to go back and get the health care costs under control. This bill is too interested in simply writing checks to people to be covered. We need to fix the system.
And last question, which is not technically a tax from most of the analyses I've seen, but that is the speculation and the expectation that for a lot of people, especially young adults, health care premiums are going to be significantly more expensive. What can you tell us about how that's going to add to the bill?
We know that the bill doesn't change the underlying growth in health care costs. That means it doesn't change the basic pressure upward on insurance premiums. And for young people who are now obligated to buy insurance, there's a mandate, and who are obligated to pay the bills of older, sicker Americans, they're going to see their premiums go up. No way around it.
Well, keep watching. Does not sound very promising, to say the least. Doug, thank you very much for your time.
Great, thank you.
Douglas Holtz-Aiken served as director of the Congressional Budget Office. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.